What's good, y'all? You guys know who it is. Ringside Rave. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and let's get into this podcast.
What's up, everybody? Back again, Fade Hour, episode 14. This your boy Moth, Bruising Boxing. That's how you can find me. Man, I'm joined tonight by my boy News. I got Smoke on the line. I got Pat. And my man P, he gonna slide in here sooner rather than later.
I'm here.
There we go, right there. Let me go ahead, P. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Then go ahead, Pat. Then Smoke. And then the general news. Go ahead, and then we gonna go ahead and go all into it.
All right, this your boy P, repping Ringside Rave, Bodega Boxing. And if you could ask me what I'm sipping on, man, I want my cheap shit when it comes to this Fade Hour. I hate being sober.
Yeah, what's good, y'all? It's Pat Scorpion, a New England representative. Did my cardio, so and I ate, so I'm having my after dinner wine. You know, I got a little bit of the Pinot Grigio, whatever, you know, in my glass right now. So yeah, far out, you know what I'm saying.
What up, y'all? It's Smoke, repping that Ringside Rave, but you can also catch me at Free Smoke Boxing. I am drinking just the local IPA, 8%, and I am smoking that band.
What up, world? It's your boy News, representing that Ringside Rave all day. Y'all know what it is with me, man. My voice already calm and low because I already been chilling with my homie Gelato. You already know what it is. Consecutive streak going long. Feeling like Brett Favre here with the Iron Man streak with the gelato right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, shit, man. I'm just sipping on a barrel-aged stout, 13%. So, just taking it, sipping it slow. It'll kick in about midway through. But, yeah, before we get into this PBC, man, you know, earlier they released their 2019 schedule. You're definitely going to have the return of one-time Keith Thurman. Leo Santa Cruz, and just a list of others. But before we even get to that, let's just go ahead and recap Alexander Usyk's punctuating retirement sending knockout of Mr. Pretty Ricky Tony Bellew. Man, how did y'all feel about it? How did y'all have it before the knockout? How did Usyk look? Where does he go from here? Where did Bellew go from here? Go ahead and jump in, guys.
Let me see. First of all, man, I thought the fight was good. I mean, originally I didn't see it live because, unfortunately, it was quality time with me and my lady. And you know, my lady, she doesn't mind my boxing thing, but when it's quality time, you know, I have to toe the line. I know News and Maul, you know about this. You know, sometimes you got to bargain with your ladies. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Hope you'll get there. And so I didn't watch it live, and I had to catch it later. And but some of the reaction I got, it was like, oh, it was a brutal knockout, and you know, it was a really good fight. So I missed fight of the year. It was not a fight of the year, but it was a really good fight. One thing that I did notice, Usyk, they were a little bit tentative in the beginning. There wasn't a whole lot of action, but once it started getting to it, I noticed that Bayou was landing on Usyk, and I thought he was winning the fight, but not by much, probably a round or two. And but I think Usyk, though, the movement and he was showing in that left hand, I think the activity, because Bayou was putting, I think, had too much, was moving, or his volume wasn't, let's just say, it was more than he was used to be doing, and you know, and he kind of wore out pretty quickly, and the left hand that actually sent him to the canvas. I mean, that was it. Because those boxing, those ring ropes are hard. The way he landed, I mean, frankly, I was surprised he actually did get up from that. You know,
shots that he hit him with before those two.
Yeah. Man,
I was watching that fight right before we did this show, mm-hmm. and he hit Belly with two huge left hooks. I was like, damn. So hey, you knew it was only a matter of time, like you said.
It was so interesting to see Usyk throw the left hook as much as he did, because you know, that's his, you know, natural lead hand, power hand. And so he was coming wide with it, but he was landing like almost every goddamn time.
Go ahead.
Jinx. because Bayou, because he got tired, he got more stationary. That was the problem. That's why he was landing. That's why he was landing those left hands. You know, because he was leaning a little bit too hard, and then, you know, that was it.
Man.
Go ahead, Pete. I thought, you know, it was a good fight before the stoppage. Honestly, I had Usyk winning the fight. I think I gave Bellew like three rounds. I think I might have only gave him two. Honestly, I think it was more of Usyk was doing the boxing, and he was boxing him, but he was getting hit a lot with the harder shots. Bellew shots were definitely the harder punches. So I can see why people were giving Bellew more rounds and why some people thought he was winning. I didn't think he was winning, but I thought he was making Usyk work for it. And then it was just after the sixth round, he just ran out of gas. And that was it from there. You could see he was breathing hard, that he was more stationary. He was hit a lot more. And the punch that put him down was an hard one. Like, that shit hurt. And so it was how I thought it was. Yeah. I didn't think he would stop him that early, but it is what it is.
Yo, I honestly thought that Usyk would cruise the unanimous decision, but I was surprised to see him bigger in the ring than Tony Bello, Pretty Ricky, whatever you want to call him. And then Pretty Ricky caught the first like three or four rounds, and it was like, shit, what's happening here?
Yeah.
And then you saw like robot mode activated, like him and Lomachenko, they don't do the same thing, but the same thing happens. Like when they activate that robot mode, like Floyd used to do the same thing. I mean, a few other fighters do it,
they fall for the hope.
When they make their adjustments, it's usually game over. And Usyk, he was getting caught with right hands early on. And if they were a little bit harder, they probably could have, you know, rocked him and changed things a little bit. But once he got past round six, like, everything changed. Turned to a different fight. I thought he was just going to cruise to a UD, but he knocked him the fuck out.
Yeah. Left my man crying after the fight.
Was he?
He's kind of an emotional guy for someone like him. I'm surprised. But yeah, like because he knew it was the end, at the end of the line for him.
I mean, people built it up as if he stood a chance in the fight, though, which is what I never understood. Which is why
I never saw it. Yeah,
or like I didn't give him an opportunity to win the fight. I said he was gonna win. Like, I thought he was gonna win like two rounds. In the fight I watched, he won about maybe two. Or like I didn't really three, maybe two.
I gave him the first three.
Way to winning about two rounds, maybe three rounds and losing 9-3, but then he got knocked out unexpectedly because it did come out of nowhere. he just got knocked out of nowhere. But they built it up like, oh, well, you gotta watch out because Bellew has this power and Usyk.
The bomber. Like,
come on, man. What happened? Man, another dude coming out, man. Like,
so I got a question.
Yep.
Not to cut you off. Now that Tony's probably gonna retire, how do y'all rate him career wise? When you look back at his career, like, is it B level fighter, C level fighter? Like, no, I don't mean historically. I just mean him himself. Not matching him against like other greats or historic greats. I'm just talking about him personally. When you know, analyze his career, his resume, his accomplishments, and everything like that.
I mean, he's a solid B level, maybe a high B. I mean, he became a champion where I didn't think. He has his victories. I mean, he does have some good victories. I mean, he did go to heavyweight and did knock out David Haye twice. You know,
yeah.
So, he kind of overachieved for his actual skill set and his physical skills or whatever. But that's why I'm saying it's like a B or a high B. Definitely not an A. He's not C level. That's
Mal.
Sure.
Two words. Yeah.
Right, pretty much. I'm gonna co-sign that.
I give him a B-. I wasn't highly impressed with him, but he had his moment, I guess.
No disrespect to Pretty Ricky, because I know he's mad famous in the United Kingdom, and he was a good boxer, but like, if someone was like, hey, tell me what you think about Pretty Ricky, Tony Bellew, whatever, and someone spent more than a minute on it, it would be like, come on. It's not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disrespect him either at all, because, you know, I mean, he did get those wins over David Haye, like you said, and at the end of the day, that boy is always going to be Pretty Ricky from Creed. So he got my respect, but at the same time, he did run off that streak at the end of his career, which also says a lot for Cruiserweight to me, because it took Usyk to stop his undefeated streak since he moved up, went to Cruiserweight.
True.
And I mean, even though he wasn't fighting the beast, now don't get me wrong, but it's just the fact that he was able to rejuvenate his career to the point where people had the thought that he could beat Usyk because he had a big right hand, but
he had momentum on his side.
Right. You know what I mean? So yeah, people bought into that, thinking that he would be able to compete, but he just wasn't that good. Like you said, Usyk was the best fighter he ever fought, and he wasn't that skill level. He was still a good fighter. Tony Bellew was definitely still a good fighter. Definitely one of the best UK fighters in the recent years. Even though he wasn't great, he was still a good fighter, and he also fought. So I'm not gonna say like anything to downplay him's career. He had a nice career, definitely for his level, though, I'd say.
So with that being said, man, how do y'all see Usyk's 2019 playing out? Because we know moving up to heavyweight is the next move. No need to wait around for the cruiserweight. No, don't. He don't need to go through that again. So at heavyweight, we should see him back in the ring first part of the year before May. And who y'all think it should be against?
I personally think that Usyk is going to wait around and beat the winner of the cruiserweight tournament, and then move up to heavyweight.
Well, yeah, they in the semifinals now, so yeah, the semis should be win.
That tournament's not going to end until the end of 2019.
Right. We're talking about 2019. That's what I'm saying. I think he's going to hang around. I think he's going to hang around the crew. Yeah, I think. I think he's going to fight. He's going to fight two random opponents. He's going to be able to be like, you know what? I've been fighting this caliber of fighters. Now I get to have a tune-up. You know, he's going to be able to say that, and we're going to be able to allow him to have a tune-up.
Yeah,
I mean, not a tune-up, but like a lesser fight where he can just go home in front of his fans.
Yeah, finally fight at home.
Right, he can have a
victory lap. A victory lap.
Yeah, I don't want to call him a bum fight, but you know, he can have one of those. The soft touch.
Right.
Yeah, I can see him having two of those, and then fighting the winner of the cruiserweight tournament at the end of the 2019, then in 2020, fighting like Joshua and them, because Joshua and Wilder ain't gonna fight until like 2020.
Because you know what, in a sense, I would let them two fight and then fight whoever, you know what I'm saying? Let them get it out the way and then go fight the winner of that, because shit, why be cannon fodder before they fight? Shit, I give me the leftovers if I'm him.
Yeah, but the thing though, Usyk though, I mean, should probably take like a soft touch heavyweight too, because I'm not saying it's different. Like Usyk though has the height to be a heavyweight, and he could probably put on maybe another 10 or 20 pounds, but he does need to get a soft touch in at heavyweight just to see how he's actually gonna rack the punches, because sometimes some of these cats, their body reacts a little funny when they move into, when they go from like light heavyweight to heavyweight, or light heavyweight or cruiserweight to heavyweight. And right, he definitely needs that. He needs at least a couple of those before even talking about going to Joshua or somewhere.
But who's a soft touch though? Who's a nice get your feet wet?
I mean, England has a lot of soft touch heavyweights. I mean, David Price still wants to fight. Fuck it, let him fight him. You know what I mean?
I mean, Gassiev punches harder than any, like most heavyweights under 215. If there's any,
is asking for you know, Povetkin said he only got two left. Is that too much too soon?
Yeah.
I wouldn't put him in with Povetkin. That's too much. I wouldn't put him in with Povetkin. I wouldn't put him in with King Kong.
Oh hell no.
You know, I'd put him in with the
Brazil.
I wouldn't even put him in with the Brazil.
Like, what you think, P?
Well, from what his interview after the fight didn't seem like he's all that ready to go to heavy. It doesn't seem like he's itching to move up in weight. I don't know. He was like, oh, I got to think about it. You know, it didn't seem like I don't think he's going to move up just yet. I think he might take like one more fight or two in cruiserweight and then move up to heavyweight. But I'm not sure who you would match him up with when he does move. It's got to be I don't want to say a soft touch, but nobody, they're not the big names right away. He's got to get acclimated that way. Not really acclimated to weight, but like it's different.
It's style, a different ball game, right.
Different ball game, bigger punchers. You don't want to just put him in with the biggest punchers right away. So you got to tread carefully.
Yeah.
Like going to heavyweight, kind of. Because I've made it known that I'm not a fan of going to heavyweight because I don't find his style conducive to winning big heavyweight fights.
Really?
Yeah,
go ahead and you got some, you know, want to go in deeper on that just to give everybody, you know, why you say that.
I feel like stylistically wise, like he can box very well, but I feel like he's way too hittable for my liking, and like he takes shots, like heavy shots, wild, because even when he was boxing Bellew, when he was moving, he was getting hit. Like he was open for shots, heavy shots coming his way. And I don't see him being able to hold up against big, heavyweight, taking those big punches. I don't see it.
Weren't you just referring to him as Alexander Jones Jr. on the last cast?
Y'all must have forgot.
No, I didn't forget. I think
After 1 weekend, we're going to turn our back on him, P?
I'm not turning my back. I said that way before last week. I don't know. I think he could beat some of the low, like some of the mid-card guys at heavyweight. But the top heavyweight guys, no. That's why I said big heavyweight fight.
Would you, right now, without him taking a fight at heavyweight, would you favor him over Tyson Fury?
No. I don't see it. I'm not, See, now you got to be thinking about that.
Right. Is that a serious question?
who do you think will win, Smoke?
I mean, Usyk, who's never fought at heavyweight before, versus Fury, who's only fought at heavyweight?
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
I mean,
That's a Fury win.
I'm trying to be nice. Come on, let me cook. I'm trying not to like feel like I'm shitting all over Usyk on this podcast.
Usyk's the fucking man, but Fury, I mean, even though he did a bunch of coke and got fat instead of staying true to the craft, like,
listen, the reason why I said let me think about it is because Fury is actually stylistically, I think he could like box Fury very well, because we saw what Fury and Cunningham. And Usyk is way better than Cunningham to me. Not no disrespect to Cunningham.
He's about to tweet you.
Despite Cunningham, no disrespect to Cunningham. But I would just say, so I think he would have a chance, but it's just I don't see him avoiding heavy shots for all full 12 rounds.
Yeah.
I
can see that. I mean, because I wouldn't favor Usyk over King Kong.
Nah, I wouldn't.
I'd have a 50-50 though.
Yeah. Outside of Wilder and Joshua, I give him a definite shot against anybody else.
I was just saying, King Kong, that's like really bad stylish matchup. Like, that's like the worst case scenario for Usyk. That's a terrible matchup for him.
I don't know, man. That's,
you never know. He could be a great.
Yeah, because. Yeah, we'll see. But
I mean, well, if Usyk was 20 pounds heavier,
maybe he will be after he don't have to make weight no more.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, then we'll see.
Right. So we'll see whether what are y'all, without going into the full list, where does he rank as of today on y'all's pound for pound list? Usyk. Without naming everybody else, because you know that's Pandora's box. We'll get to that at the end of the year. But
I'll give him top 10. I'll say he's top 10. But where is that top 10?
I mean, he's definitely top 5 because he's actually running his division and he's actually unified his belt. And he's actually fought the competition to get his belt. So he's definitely top 5 pound for pound.
See, that's the problem. I said top 10 because I know he's definitely 10. Maybe he's 5. You could make a case for being 5. It's just now I got to sit there and rattle what you said. Oh, we're not bringing up all the other names. But no, now you have to bring them in.
I just said top 5 and that's it.
I mean, you can, but I don't think you really can without analyzing. Because I don't want to do that. That's a chore. That's why I don't like doing pound for pound.
Top 2.
Wait a minute.
Just leave it at that.
I can see that. Yeah, I won't argue that. Now, you know, I won't. Okay.
That's right. You don't argue that. You said the man said top 2, goddammit.
Yeah. I know. I'm asking for his opinion and arguing him out of his opinion.
Yeah, exactly.
How about you? How about you? Where you got him, News?
I got him at like number five.
Top 5.
I got him at like as high as number 5. Like I still wouldn't put him over Canelo.
Hey, Snooze, come on, man. Come on, stop that.
I wouldn't put it over Canelo because at the end of the day.
No, you
I'm gonna explain why. Because at the end of the day, When you bring up resumes, you can't just tell somebody like me, look at my resume, look at your resume. I'm a person that's gonna say, okay, let me look at your resume. So I'm gonna open it up, and I'm gonna check your resume. Yeah. And when I check the resume, the reason I can't put Usyk over Canelo is that because Canelo beat GGG. That's a better win than any win that Usyk has. So I mean, there's no win that Usyk has that's on that level. We don't know how good Gassi really is.
So,
I mean, he's 22-0, but I still don't. He didn't make it through the tourney. He got to get a better win. I mean, I don't think he can get any higher than 5 actually out of cruiserweight, because there really isn't any competition in that weight class really. I mean, I don't know, man, because they seem good, but then all of a sudden it's always here come the next person. But they were just doing, remember when they just pumping up that one guy, what was his name? Glowacki? Just like a year ago or something like that.
Yeah,
I forgot what the guy's name was. It was like a cruiserweight.
Let me ask you something funny. Terrence Crawford.
Oh, see, I said we're gonna do this at the end of the year. Here we go. Go ahead.
You gotta think before you ask some of these questions, bruh.
I mean, it's like, all right, so T-Craw has eye test with Usyk is about similar. Usyk has knocked out better competition as of this weekend. So, Terrence Crawford is pretty much like 1 through 3. So, why would you put Crawford above Usyk?
Why would I put Crawford above Usyk? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, the dominance that I've seen, I have never seen Crawford in a fight like Usyk had. He's had a close fight.
Everybody
he's fought. And I take that in consideration too, which is why I'll hold Deontay Wilder in the place that I hold him. Because even though you can say with this, that, and the third about a resume, all you can do is fight whoever you fight. And if your resume is really supposed to be beneath you, you have to show that those fighters really are beneath you. Terrence Crawford, every fight he's had, no fighters really showed that they're even on the same level as him. So he showed that he really is that much above his level of competition. So I have to raise him above that. He's fighting B fighters and he's way better than them. So I know he's an A fighter. So that's how I have him above Usyk, because Usyk is going 64, he's going 65-35 with fighters that don't even think they're that good at cruiserweight. If Terrence Crawford had a fight like that at junior welterweight, I would say the same thing. If he would have had a fight like that with Ndongo, I would say the same thing. I'm just saying. I would say the same.
I don't think the dudes at cruiserweight are. I mean, I think they're a little bit better than Ndongo ended up being.
Are they really better than Victor Posto?
I didn't say that. Really,
I know. I'm just saying. Like, do we know that they're better than a Victor Posto? And we thought that junior welterweight didn't have a lot of wasn't deep enough. So cruiserweight. It's almost the same to me. So I would like to see Usyk up at heavyweight too, to see what he can do against a fighter like a Big Baby Miller, who's just going to come at him throwing 1,000 punches and see what Usyk does to him. I'd like to see that fight.
Hopefully it'll come into fruition in 2019. But speaking of 2019, PBC blessed us today, Pauls, with an immense fight schedule. And P, your boy is back.
Yes, one time.
Yeah, man, January 26th, man. He's going to be back in the Barclays on Fox at that. You know, Fox, they signed that big deal. And, you know, he's going to be there against Josecito Lopez. And Kanaki and Gerald Wallace will be on the card.
Washington.
Hey, he did play for the Brooklyn Nets back then.
Yeah, he did. So, hey, yeah, he got dunked on by Kobe.
My boy, right.
Here we go.
Yo, until one time is weighing in for the fight.
Oh, here he go.
No, that's all I'm going to say. Until he's weighing in for the fight. I'm not 100% sure it's going on.
Right. So, remember, me and Pete, you know, had tickets for fucking Thurman and Porter when that shit was in Connecticut before Thurman had an incident with the damn shopping cart.
They rave mixed that.
But now let's go through this. Let's go to this list PBC did, man. We just all gonna go around the room and say whether we bush this fight or card. Or we like it, or we fuck with it. You know, December 22nd, which is already announced. We already spoke on it before. You got Charlo and Willie Monroe, then Little Charlo and Tony Harrison. We throwing this in the bushes. We throwing this card in the bushes. Or we fuck with this?
Fuck no. It's good. Thumbs up.
I'm keeping it. The Charlo's back in action. Jermell Charlo, Tony Harrison has shown more in his career than Erickson Lubin has. So this is actually a better fight than that fight was.
Yep.
So I like to see that fight. Even though we're all going to pick Jermell Charlo for the fact that we can't trust Tony Harrison's chin.
I'm sorry, but I can't have this card.
It's on Fox.
Exactly, bro.
I ain't got to pay $10 on a stream for it. It's on my regular TV. It's on Fox.
I got to see Willie Monroe on TV on Fox, bro.
You had to see him on HBO.
I don't want to see him anywhere.
news. You know what Pat gonna say now.
Listen, I understand. I feel it. I understand. I'm not saying it's a great card. I'm saying throw it in the bushes type card.
No.
I can't say that about this card.
Yeah, that's before Christmas, y'all. Come on, that's before Christmas now. Think of the
kids.
I'm
keeping this card. We put it in the. I'm keeping this.
Man, them niggas is rich, man. What are you talking about? Think about the kids. Them niggas is already rich, man. They don't need to end of the bracket.
But shit, what about the January 13th? This will be on FS1. Lil Uzi Vert, Jose Uscatakis versus Caleb Plant. That's the main event. So we bushing it or we fucking with it?
First off, please don't disrespect Uscatakis by calling him that.
Well, before early predictions on that,
Uzi
knockout.
Who's gonna take it? Yeah, I mean, he's gonna. It's just me pressure. I mean, he's gonna send him to the bushes before round seven.
Is that Sweet Hands?
Yeah.
I'm going with Sweet Hands in that one.
Nah.
I'm going with Sweet Hands in that one to pull off the upset.
I didn't like how he looked against Porky Medina. Like, Porky Medina was in that fight injured, and he let him off the hook.
I know, but
yo, so
I know, but it's. I'm going with him for his story alone. Like Sweet Hands, he doing it from the bottom. He trying to make it by any means necessary. He trying to make it by his literal blood, sweat, and tears by his hands. I'm going with him just because his story, like, on some real, I mess with Caleb Plant.
Listen, Uzkoteki took a bare knuckle left hook from a Durrell belt and didn't blink. So I have to fuck with that. That showed me a lot of things. That showed me that he's not
cool. Uzkoteki?
Yeah. I gotta fuck with him, you know, because he took a shot and he ate that shit like a G. So I'm like, okay, this is okay. I gotta fuck with him now. So yeah, yo, I think he's a knockout plan.
Where's our champ in recess?
Who? Ramirez? No, I'm.
Benavidez.
Scarface. Tony Montana.
I think he has a fight. Didn't they announce he has a fight?
He has a fight coming, but it's not like announced who his opponent is.
So I think I saw that. I don't remember when, but I remember he has a fight coming.
Hold on. Speaking of 2019, we're going to need a scoreboard. We're going to have to start doing fight picks. We got to keep it up, and the winner gets something. We all got to get a winner something. We gotta be able to fall on the sword on our picks next year, man.
I'm pretty sure there's like an online boxing like thing or app that you can score shit.
Something doper than that.
Got you. The next card is the 26th, 2 weeks following that on Fox. Now, obviously, like we mentioned earlier, Keith Thurman is back against Jose Cito Lopez.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that'll be in the Barclays, man, and Kanalki and Gerald Washington. So we bushing that card, or we fucking with it?
I'm bushing that card.
I'm bushing that card.
I'm messing with Keith Thurman being back, but that card trash. Kanalki versus Gerald Washington is a co-main.
I agree with you. I don't bush that one because, like I said, Kanalki, Gerald Washington, I don't care about it. But it's a type of C-level heavyweight fight that is needed.
On Fox.
Hey man, I'm not PBC, man. I don't.
You know what I mean? Like, not on that. I'm not saying the fight. I'm not saying the matchup is trash. I'm bushing the card on. We talking about on Fox. All these are on Fox. Now let's mind like that Uzi and Caleb Plant. That's FS1. If that was Fox, my thing would have been different. This is on Fox. I'm not trying to see Kanalki and Gerald Washington in my co-main on Fox. Yeah.
Thurman's not an FS1 fighter. Thurman is a Fox fighter.
And I'm bushing Jose Cito Lopez being in the main event versus Keith Thurman. I mean, I understand it's a Keith Thurman comeback. But on Fox, I got to
be. Yeah.
I want that shit to be on Nickelodeon. Like, come on.
Prime time on Fox, a Keith Thurman tune-up versus Jose Cito Lopez with Kyle Naki versus Gerald Washington and Yokome. I would have to go see that fight.
Listen, I don't care if Keith Thurman's on it. Man, that shit could be Keith Thurman versus RoboCop.
I don't know. I understand, because I feel the same way if it was an AB card. And they say, I went to go see AB versus Khabib out of Cardiff. So I understand. I'm bushing that card, man. I'm bushing that Thurman card. Sorry.
No, unbushed. we get to see Thurman again, but they need to replace that undercard. Well, here's the thing. We don't know the full undercard yet, do we?
Yeah, no.
They're not going to show 80 fights on there. They're going to probably kill the whole two.
In a swing belt.
I mean, all the shit on TV, man.
They'll probably should just show those two fights. And we're
talking PBC. When the last time PBC had a good undercard fight that wasn't on TV?
Pat knows the exact exact date, what the weather was, what the latitude.
It darn sure wasn't with a name. PBC always put their name fighters on TV, regardless of the caliber of fight. And that's the problem that a lot of people actually have with PBC is because of that, the quality of the fight rather than the name of the fighter.
I need more FS1 cards from that. Some FS1 cards be busting. Now they be hitting. Right.
They be having good matchups. That's the matchups of the name. That's kind of like. Go ahead.
That's like, but I'm like, because no, but of course, because FS1 is supposed to have that. Like that's what it's like having the B star. It's like Fox is you get the juicy, but FS1 you get the I shot you.
Oh wait,
you said juicy and I shot.
Who shot you?
Do you mean who shot you?
Separate the I corrected myself.
Separate the weak from.
Absolutely. Who shot you is better than Juicy.
But no, you're not getting it. No. You're missing my point. I'm saying that the A side is for the promotional.
Gotcha.
To play on the radio. Gotcha. Like so we're getting the Thurman. Thurman is Juicy, and then whatever.
Pause.
You gotta have to pause that one.
Thurman is juicy.
My nigga, this is a fame hour.
Who's the doggy? Oh,
shit. That was an industrial strength pause.
Y'all might be the dog. Fuck y'all.
Anyway, it'll be dope to see Thurman back in the ring. Hopefully his elbow holds up.
Well, hopefully he gets through this unscathed, and then he can mix it up with the top fighter. Because that's what we really want. We don't want to see. Because Thurman himself said, I think he said he wants like two tune-ups. I really don't want to see two tune-ups. Just give us one, and if the body's feeling well, then just...
Go ahead and get that belt back from Porter. Go ahead, go ahead and get that belt back that you never lost.
Nope.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
but February 16th, then we got Leo Santa Cruz, who I'll be seeing sneaking at the bottom of a lot of people pound for pound list, but yeah, that's another discussion. But he'll be against Miguel Flores, and then Omar Figueroa. We fighting Sugar John. Yep, that'll be February 16th on Fox. Fucking with it, are we bushing it?
Bush. Yeah, I'm sorry, but this is the worst. That's fight. Our... This is the worst fight out of the whole damn slate.
Leo That's Santa our Cruz. Valentine's Day weekend too, man. Come on now. I'll be Leo watching Slam Dunk contest.
Yo, so is it the Miguel Flores who got knocked out against Rigo?
No, it's a different.
No, it's not Miguel Flores.
Miguel Flores got knocked out in his two fights that he stepped up in, and he frankly shouldn't even be fighting for a title. LSC should be ashamed of himself for this fight.
Don't go that
man, far. Yeah, because I feel like it should have been a unification between the PBC's two belt holders at featherweight, Leo Santa Cruz versus Gary, the new one time a year Russell. Like that's who it should have been. But instead, we got to see Leo Santa Cruz fight people like this. When we should be pushing for it, we can't even get mad at it. You can't. When is Leo Santa Cruz is going through his whole career and never has to say anything about unification? Why? Because he never has to. Because the only person that has the belt with them don't really want to fight him. I don't. But the card itself, if I lived on the West Coast, I wouldn't even mind the fight. Omar Figueroa versus John Molina.
That is the only fight that could be fight of the year candidate because it's
gonna be a hell of a co-main event.
That will outshine Santa Cruz's fight easily.
Yeah, now that's going to be, yeah, the Santa Cruz fight, and that's my problem. Now, that was me taking my little shot at Gary Russell Jr. for only fighting one time a year. That doesn't excuse the fact that PBC could have found somebody else better than Miguel Flores, because Figueroa versus Molina Jr. is a good co-main that's going to have even the fans watching at home. Even if you were casual, you're going to, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to be a nice fight to watch. John Molina Jr., he might put on some sugar, John Molina. You never know. But Omar Figueroa has no defense.
Yeah, they're going to be amazing, this motherfucker, and I can't wait for that fight.
Yeah, that's going to be Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah. There's going to be fucking blood. You know, niggas is going to bleed. Yeah,
Figueroa is going to be busted open by the second round.
Niggas bleed, just like that's what Biggie said.
Yeah, yeah. Figueroa. Yeah, if you've never seen Omar Figueroa fight, me saying he has no defense doesn't mean he doesn't have defense. He can box. He doesn't box.
He doesn't. And then Molina will
bleed. That's what's crazy about it.
And then Molina will bleed when they touch gloves in the center of the ring. Yep. So,
That's going to be a nice fight to watch. I can't wait to watch that one, actually.
Yes.
Sure enough.
So we keeping it?
Not halfway? No, we only keeping it to the co-main is over.
Yeah, pretty much. I agree.
We just bush it the rest of the way.
We'll watch the highlights.
That's a half a bush. That's halfway in the bush, halfway out.
Remember, that'll be slam dunk contest night and All-Star weekend. So
that'll be me eating an edible and just staring at the wall. I'm pretty sure that'll be more entertaining.
All-Star weekend, I definitely got to watch the Figueroa Molina. That's gonna be a really good fight.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
That's a DVR card.
Yeah. I'm not a fat DVR.
Yeah.
Digital video recorder.
But the next February 23rd, the next Saturday, we got Anthony Durrell on FS1 fighting in Minneapolis. And who Pat knows how to pronounce the guy he's fighting. I can't pronounce it. I'm not even gonna lie.
Why is he fighting in Minneapolis? Sometimes these locations make no sense.
I don't think we should talk about this fight.
What's going to happen is Durrell is getting gifted a WBC belt because this is for the vacant WBC super middleweight title. And because unfortunately Benavidez decided he wanted to be Tony Montana in his rock outfit, and he got himself suspended until March. So pretty much Durrell's getting gifted because Yildirim is garbage. He was in the 168 World Boxing Series tournament, and I think he got knocked out in the first round.
Oh, that's where I remember that name from.
This fight is going to be one-sided as fuck, and Durrell's going to get himself a new gifted belt.
Yeah, because Anthony Durrell is actually a good fighter. He's a really good fighter at super middleweight.
So. That makes very suspect.
But it just seems like he don't care. Like, I don't know. It just seemed like, whatever. I'll fight whoever.
I don't know. I don't know. I just think that it's never been separated between him and his brother. It's always been Anthony Durrell, Andre Durrell. When people think of Anthony Durrell, they think of Andre Durrell. And when they think of Andre Durrell, they think of the stuff that he went through. But Anthony Durrell on his own is a good fighter, but it's just like his career never really had its own push that it should have gotten. So when he get this belt, I'm happy that he's going to get this belt, because all this means to me is that this guarantees us David Benavidez versus Anthony Durrell. That's a really good fight. This is going to guarantee that fight.
Sean Porter on March 9th. Sean Porter and you guys fighting in Las Vegas. Well, we fucking with this, obviously. Fucking with it.
Very much so. Like I said, it's a fresh matchup at welterweight. You know, you got two different styles. You got two cats that are probably barely making welterweight anymore. Hopefully it should not be a boring fight. You know, but I fuck with it.
And we all expect, who do y'all pick? Early predictions.
Really?
I'm always picking Sean Porter. Ohio players, maybe.
Porter.
Yep.
It's Porter, but it's by a slim margin. I think Ugas could, I've said it on here before, I think Ugas could surprise him.
I'm not even gonna lie. Ugas can, he can win. He can win because of the fact that he's active and Sean Porter comes in too reckless sometimes, and the fact that Ugas does let his hands go. I would hate to see Sean Porter get clipped at any point because it seems like he's due.
I was just about to ask, don't it seem like his style is going to catch up to him at some point?
Yeah, it just seems like it's going to happen at one point. Somebody's going to catch him leaping in because he comes in defenseless. And I don't think he's going to be as responsible as he needs to be with Ugas the first couple rounds. I think he's going to rely on his sheer aggression and power to try to beat Ugas. But I think Ugas is going to be able to land a lot of punches on him. A lot of punches.
Anyway, Porter will be picked apart in this fight, though. But his aggression will probably keep him in there. If Ugas tires just a little bit, then Porter will take over. You know? Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, if you watch the Garcia fight, Swift landed pretty much a flush left hook on Porter when he was on his way in. And it didn't stop Showtime, nothing. But Danny Garcia is really best at 140.
Yeah, speaking of a Garcia, we got a pay-per-view fight March 16th. Smoke, go ahead. You already know where I'm going at with Garcia. Go ahead, why don't you jump it off?
Mikey Garcia, Errol Spence got finalized, which should be interesting. They had some type of like press conference or something like that, and Mikey is clearly like 3 or 4 inches shorter and probably like 25 pounds naturally smaller. So he's gonna have to gain a lot of weight naturally to compete with Spence. It's going to be a tough fight for him, and unless something goes wrong, it should be a not that difficult fight for Spence.
Since Mikey, your boy, will it go the full distance, or will your boy get stopped? Early prediction.
I mean, I would put
nah. What's your gut telling you, Small? I don't need to hear the jewels in.
Ain't no jewels in. I mean, I think Mikey can win, but what I think will happen is that he'll probably lose by TKO in like the 11th round.
Man, I'm seeing ridiculous things of people running around talking about Mikey's gonna prove that size doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, come on, man.
Hold on, dude. Wanda, she sat next to me, and when you did that shit, she started laughing. So.
Yeah, man. Like,
I don't know if I caused that or not.
Man, she know what it is. Like, what's going on with these people, man? I almost said something about this earlier today. Come on, man. This is a grown man fighting a middle schooler, man. Like, at the end of the day. What do you mean Mikey Garcia is going to prove? I'm seeing all types of people saying all types of ridiculous things. There's nothing Mikey Garcia can do to stop Errol Spence from beating that ass come March 16th. There's nothing he can do. He signed up for it. He's about to get the pay that he wants. He's going to be able to last a while, sure. But what's going to happen is by the 6th round, he's going to be up out of there. Like, come on, this is ridiculous. But I also want the same people that's pumping Mikey Garcia up to remember that after the fight. Don't try to start saying, well, Errol Spence, you know, Mikey Garcia was just too small for him. We told y'all before the fight. Y'all still wanted it.
You said skill
was going to get the job done. It didn't. But now you want to go to size as the excuse when you said skill was going to overcome the size.
Who said that, though?
These people that's running around saying size ain't gonna matter.
I mean, I'm the biggest Mikey Garcia fan that you know.
I mean, listen, man. Listen, these people running around here on social media with their little banners up, running around here talking about size don't matter. Like, at the end of the day, I almost went back like, man, come on, man. Get these people out of here talking about Mikey going to be able to show the skill. How is this going to happen? When it doesn't happen, are we going to be able to pull up these same things and say, you said that the size will not matter, the skill is going to overcome it. But now you're taking that away from Errol Spence. Now you're taking the credit away from him by saying Mikey Garcia was actually too small when you didn't believe it. So I don't know. That's why that's one thing I'll be liking about that. I think people preparing to take the credit away from the truth.
I mean, that's why I wanted to take this. Go ahead, P.
Bruh. Fucking Spence and Mikey, when they faced off face to face, Spence made that man look like Bunsen Bold. Fuck out of here. it's going to be ugly. It's going to be bad. Mikey's going to have his moment. But at the end, I don't know how he's going to be able to keep Spence off. I don't. And I, honestly, I can agree with News, because I'm getting a little tired of the, signs that Mikey's not going to do this, signs doesn't matter. Or, here's my favorite. I've been seeing this, like, every day on Twitter. It'll say a picture, and it'll be like, here is Mikey Garcia on his way to sign the Spence fight. And it will show a picture of Randy Marsh from South Park wheeling his big balls in a wagon. I don't know if y'all watched South Park, if y'all remember that with the weed episode.
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm tired of seeing that. Like, y'all gotta give him extra credit. And then when fight time comes and he gets beat up and they have to stop that fight to preserve that man's health, y'all are gonna be like, well, like, make it a moral victory shit. Y'all keep it.
I mean, keep it.
But you can't pump him up and then double back down, and then at the end, kind of hedge your bets. Well, like, no, are you going with him or are you not? Are you saying he's going to beat him or are you not? You're saying, you're implying that he's going to beat Spence, but then when it doesn't happen, you're going to make excuses.
You got to give Earl the props, because you thought he could lose to him.
Don't pull a Skip Bayless and hedge your bets. Like, no. Nah. Make it clear. If you think he's going to beat him, then say it. Don't imply.
Well, so the thing is that Mikey Garcia jumping up two weight divisions when nobody else in Errol Spence's own division will fight him does say something about the gravitas that he possesses. But, I mean, you know, if Mikey chooses to fight at 147, that's his choice. He's probably going to end up taking an L via technical knockout or knockout. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
I mean, like I said, I mean, it's a fight. I mean, I can't get excited about it because, like I said, I do think it's a mismatch. Mikey is skilled, but we have weight divisions for a reason. You know, and add to the fact that both these niggas have better competition in their own respective divisions than fighting each other. And then add on to Mikey actually wanting this fight, you know, which is even more asinine. I don't even know why, you know. It's just like, it just doesn't, I mean, I'm going to watch it. I mean, why it's on pay-per-view, that's another question. I'm going to watch it, but it's just like, I can't get excited over it because it's too much. You know, it could be, I just have that feeling it could be a mismatch going wrong. You know
what's crazy about it though is that, and I'm gonna say this, the whole thing about Mikey Garcia is courageous for doing it, that in the whole build-up, which, you know what I mean, he is courageous for taking on the challenge others aren't. That's the same BS story they ran for Cal Brook for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then Cal Brook finally climbed into those ropes after he jumped up two weight classes and got his face broken for it. Afterwards, we don't hear nothing about how tough Cal Brook was. He's an afterthought at this point, for real. How often do the media talk about Cal Brook anymore? We don't talk about none of that. It's in the lead up. Mikey Garcia, hopefully he doesn't get injured doing this, because at the end of the day, the
you want to see pumping
you up,
Mike.
Right? They're going to pump you up on the way there. But if Errol Spence really hurt you and you're not the same fighter no more, they're not going to say, well, you know, they're just going to say, well, Mikey Garcia used to be good until he fought Errol Spence.
And right.
That's what the story.
Loma's going to be fighting damaged goods.
Right. It's not Rudy. It's not any of those feel-good movies. It's real life. It's boxing. You know, because,
you're right. Weird. What was the collective saying at the Spence beat Brooke?
Man.
Brooke was coming down from 160. His eye was already fucked up.
Yeah,
right. You just don't want to be damaged goods, and that's the only thing. That's the only thing I hope. I hope Mikey Garcia. I think he's gonna lose by a knockout, but I'm hoping that I'm hoping he don't take any type of damage that could ruin his career, because Mikey Garcia is a beast at 135. I want to see him at his peak versus.
But let me ask you a question though. All jokes aside, what does Mikey does? What does he do better in the ring than Spence? Though, like what advantages does he have? What advantages does he have that he can take into the fight?
I don't know. All of his technical skills are just better. He's a better jabber than Errol Spence.
Jab, speed, balance.
I don't know.
I think we're disrespecting Spence a little bit. I don't think he's just some brute that's just
some prodder, right?
But Mikey's highly skilled. That is like comparing. It's like, you know, even though you top notch, there's just somebody that may have a little more elite skills.
That's a number.
You know, even though you may be Tracy McGrady, it was still Kobe Bryant. I'm just saying. So Errol Spence does have elite skills. He's one of my favorite fighters, one of my top three favorite fighters. But I think technically, Mikey Garcia is just better than him technically, when it comes to technical abilities, having all the fundamentals of boxing down that way, in that essence. But I just think Errol Spence, just his aggression and his the way that he's going to bulldoze through Mikey Garcia is going to be just too much. That's just all I can see the fight going. I can't see Errol Spence applying anything, any boxing skill for this fight.
It shall be interesting.
How much? Because it's on pay per view. How much should this be?
Free.
Man, $75 for it. I mean, that's what's gonna be, and
how much?
This should be like maybe like I'll say at most $29.99. It shouldn't be more than that. Like, stop it.
The Crawford postal price, right?
I'm thinking 60.
We're gonna try to fuck it because it's gonna be in Texas and Arlington. Yeah,
I wouldn't pay 60 for this shit. God damn. This shit should be WWF in your house prices. Like, paying Royal Rumble prices.
I guess we gotta hope that it's actually in the theaters, man. I was never a proponent of going to the movies to watch fight before. I did it for Canelo versus Junior because that was a trash fight and I wasn't paying $70 for it. But I will pay $19.99 for it. The undercard was good, but the fight was trash. But the experiment was awesome because I got faded and I had popcorn. I had my flask with me. It was dope. So after that, I think I've watched all but one pay-per-view in the theaters after that. So
exactly. Yeah. Definitely, man. But yeah, man, episode 14, y'all know how we are. We say the fade hour, but we don't keep it at an hour, man. We go over because we got to touch on everything. Pause. Before I kick it around the room, man. Yeah, I'm your host, Maul. You can follow me on Instagram, Bruising Boxing, on Twitter, Boxing Bruise, Bruising Boxing, whatever. You can find me on there. But yeah, let me go ahead and kick around the room, everybody. Let me go ahead and let you know where you can find them at, and news will wrap this thing up.
Fast Scorpio, you already know how it goes. I mean, like I said, you can find me anywhere. Just as long as you type in the P and the A, and it'll just take you in. The rest will just fill in nicely. But yeah, like I said, you can find me on the. Hey, wrap all that shit. I'm trying to talk, motherfucker.
So
you can find me on the Ring and Radio Instagram, and then my own Instagram, Pat Scorpio, and then and Bigger Pat on the Twitter, I'm everywhere, man. You know what I'm saying? Just hit me up.
What's up, yo? It's your boy Smoke. You can catch me at Free Smoke Boxing on Twitter and IG, but most importantly, under Ringside Rave. Is there?
Put that fucking cigarette out. Oh shit! My mic was on. I didn't even realize. All right, man.
He's a goddamn fool.
But it's your boy T. You can follow me on Bodega. Follow me at Bodega Boxing on Instagram and Twitter.
Oh yeah, yeah. We got our boy Rez, man, too. You know, International Rez.
Rez.
You know, we can, you can follow him on Twitter. It's Reservoir Dogs 93. Come on. 93. You know, 93. You know, hey, I was in third grade by then, so I'm old as fuck. So
this is how we chill from 93 until.
Oh, good ass reference, bruh.
Yes, sir.
What up, y'all? This your boy News, representing Ringside Rave all day. You already know what it is with me, man. You can follow us again as normal. You can subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. Yeah, man. But other than that, I mean, we're here. And like, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Fade Hour. We appreciate all your support. And we see y'all next week.
Thank you guys for listening to Ringside Rave. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time. Peace.